Good evening. It's Mike Vardy. I say evening because I'm hoping that you're listening to this as the evening hours are approaching and you want to get your night owl on. This is the Night Owl Action Plan Guided Audio Program, and I'm really excited that you've picked up this product. I'm really excited I could deliver this. I think it's been far too long that we have seen early risers get the benefit of some kind of program, and night owls just are not going to be able to achieve at the same level that early risers can. So my goal with this audio program is to kind of motivate you and inspire you to stick with it and embrace your inner night owl, what you identify as, because believe it or not, studies have shown that more people actually identify as closer to being night owls than early risers. Some of the research I've done says 32% of those that were surveyed identified as night owls, while only one quarter of those surveyed identified as early risers, and then the rest weren't quite sure. So a lot of people aren't really sure. Now, if you aren't sure, there are tests out there. There's one called the MEQ, which is the morningness, eveningness quotient, basically. It allows you, it's a questionnaire, and it allows you to get a sense of whether you are more liable to succeed and thrive in the mornings or in the evenings. And I encourage you to take that test along with some of the other ones that are in the guide, the worksheets that will be either included with the guide upon release or released with as later updates. Including some of the sleep expert tests and things of that nature. But let's dive into it. I want to talk a little bit about, as we get started, the idea of how night owls, there's a stigma attached with them. You know, there's the idea that night owls are lazy or that they just aren't able to achieve at the same level that early risers. And that's just not so. And I'm proof positive of that. But I'm not the only one. There are many, many night owls who have succeeded well beyond the parameters that even some early risers have been able to achieve. Now, I mentioned some of them in the guide, but some of them I didn't, probably because they don't necessarily look like they should be necessarily staying up too late. Keith Richards is one of them. Keith Richards of the Rolling Stone is actually a huge night owl. He definitely is not aged well for some people, but I mean he is definitely a night owl, and he's a creative soul. Barack Obama, President Barack Obama, is a night owl. Marissa Meyer, she's a night owl. There's so many of them out there that have achieved in the later hours of the evening, and I think that that's worth noting because early risers, they say the early bird gets the worm. It's a famous quote by Jeremy Paxman. But the second mouse gets the cheese. And that's true. In fact, when you think about it, one of the things that came up during my research was that because there's some statistics and some research that have shown that night owls are actually more intelligent than their early rising counterparts because of the fact that night and nocturnal natures are a sign of an evolutionary, leveling up, for lack of a better term. When you think about it, a lot of hunting takes place at night because the early risers are sleeping and whatnot in nature. That's some of the stuff that they talk about in the research. And one of the things I found when I was going through the building of this product, and as you know, this product was originally part of the Gumroad Small Product Challenge. And it's Small Product Lab Challenge, rather. And so when I put this thing together, I didn't expect to find as much as I did that would allow me to make this thing even bigger. So you can expect bigger and better things from this thing as time goes on. But the same thing can happen for you if you start to really embrace the fact that you are a night owl, especially if you identify one, and how you can avoid the struggle of trying to fight that, because that's what we do. Because there's so many people out there that say, you know, you should get up early. You should, the most successful people in the day are the ones that get those parking spots first thing in the morning. And that just isn't the case. There is little to no scientific research that says early risers are more successful on the whole than night owls. There is research out there that says that they do better when it comes to school studies. But if you've ever watched the documentary Sleepless in America or even just read the research, they've also said that the reason that occurs is because early risers, school is more aligned to their body clock. So they are likely to get better grades in school because they are more attentive and have more energy at the start of their day, which allows them to focus more at that time. But yet research has shown that those who are late risers or night owls are able to actually achieve more once they get into the real world in terms of higher salaries and positions that require a bit more demand of their intelligence and whatnot. And I'm paraphrasing here, but in the guide, I definitely talk about this as well. So the goal here is not to kind of point fingers and say, hey, early risers are not where it's at. You need to be a night owl. The whole idea behind the night owl action plan is to help you as a night owl kind of recognize, first off, that you are a night owl and embrace that. And then the second is to rally, like as night owls, we all need to rally and find ways that we can make the night work for us. And make the days work for us as well, because that's where we struggle. We struggle in the daytime from that, you know, that 7 a.m. to, you know, lunchtime slot is where we kind of really don't make our mark as much as our early rising counterparts. And then the third step, which is the third step in the process, is to ritualize, is to routinize, is to build routines that allow you to succeed no matter what, you know, day and night. You need to build routines because they are ultimately the building blocks of productivity, regardless of who you are or what time you get up. So, and what time you go to bed. So that's what we're going to talk about throughout the guide and throughout this, you know, this program. So one of the things that I want you to do right now is there's an exercise that is given in the guide. And if you haven't completed it yet or looked at it, this is something that you want to do is you want to go through and check your body clock. You may have already done this, but I want you to go through that exercise and find out, are you a morning person or are you a night person? Are you more attenuated to morningness or eveningness? That's something that you should do. And in that first part of the guide, you will find that. So if you haven't done that yet, take a look at that exercise and start to complete it. Work your way through it over the next week. The whole goal behind this guide, of course, is to help you align your tasks with your body clock. And if you're not a night owl, or you're not a pure night owl, the one that stays up till 1, 2 in the morning, there are elements of this guide that will help you, obviously, because it does transcend, early rising and night owlism to a certain extent. But it's important to know what you are. And that's where we get into this first section of the guide, which is called Recognize. So when we are younger, research has shown that we tend to rise with the sun. We tend to be early risers. So those of you who have children are very aware of this. My son is a great example. My daughter was like this too. She was not as much, but my son is definitely an example of somebody who gets up at the crack of dawn. When the sun is up, he is up. And in our youth, we tend to do that until we hit adolescence. And then once we hit adolescence, and there's research that proves this as well. I don't dive into this all that much in the guide. It is a short guide, but my plan is to build upon that and maybe make a much larger book out of it. But the research has shown that once you hit adolescence, our body clocks need time to rest and recuperate, and we're also going through a bunch of changes. So we tend to be more of a night owl. We tend to stay up later. And that's when the rhythms can really change. Some people are able to go back to being a early riser once they hit adulthood. I wasn't one of those people. I don't think my daughter is going to be one of those people either, because she's starting to enter adolescence and she has been a night owl for the past year and a bit, if not longer. So when it comes to being a night owl and going down that path, adolescence is often where it starts. And then if you continue down that path, that's where it will go. I give examples in the guide about my time working at Costco. And when I worked at Costco, I opened one of the buildings here in Victoria, British Columbia, the building in Victoria, British Columbia. And my job was to work about 18 hours during that time frame. And that's not unheard of in the world of Costco when you're opening up a building. And my time to thrive was in the later parts of the day. I saw that. I knew that. And I did. I was able to help assemble that building from, 10 a.m. all the way until 10 p.m. And then we would go out and socialize until, 1 or 2 in the morning. I'd go to bed. I'd get back up the next day and have at her again. So that's kind of how that process kind of continued. And then once I started to get back into comedy, which was, during my time at Costco, I was able to balance that pretty well because I was working, these 10 to 6, 11 to 7 kind of shifts, or even the 9:30 to 5:30 occasionally. So I was able to actually go out, go home. This is when I was single, go home, have a late dinner, go perform comedy, get to bed at around 1:30, 2 in the morning, get up the next day at around 8 and head into work. Not the healthiest of lifestyles. I'll be first to admit that, but that's how things went down. I would have loved to have been able to get 7 hours, and I generally get 7 hours of sleep now. But back then I was getting 5-6 hours just based on the fact that I was trying to shift between my life at Costco and my life as a comedian. Then I got married. I found my wife, and we got married, and we had kids, and my first daughter, and I was still working at Costco at that time, but was building the productivity parody site, Eventualism at the time, and then eventually moving on to Work for Life Hack and other sites. So at that point in time, I was trying to really balance things to the extent of, I'm a married man now, I have a kid on the way, how do we make this all work? And I struggled with that. And that's when I started to, really ignore the recognition that I was, in fact, a night owl. So I tried to get up earlier in the day. And that's when I, was listening to folks like Tony Robbins, who, again, I'm very inspired by. But I was actually monitoring my sleep. So I would schedule sleep from 12 a.m. to 5 a.m. And that just wasn't working. I tried and tried and tried, but I wasn't at my best. And I was suffering both as a comedian and as a worker at Costco. I was irritable. I was not able to concentrate. I was, not a great person to be around. And ultimately what I decided to do was just give that up. I stopped scheduling sleep. I don't think scheduling sleep is the best way to go. I'll talk a little bit about how I, kind of structure my sleep a little bit later in this program. And as well, I talk about it in the guide. But I decided to forego that. And ultimately what the problem was it wasn't my sleeping patterns. It wasn't me trying to rearrange my schedule. It forced me to look at the root of the problem. And this is what a lot of night owls face, is if they're in a job situation where it doesn't support how their body clock works, they don't have the capability to change it necessarily, they need to find a way to do so. And it's not an easy thing to do. But much like, dealing with the disruptions of email that we face, much like the 24/7 clock that we often face when we're working because we're so hyper-connected all the time, this is another area that you need to set a boundary in. And the only way I could ultimately set that boundary was to not only step down from my position as a manager, which I did do, but also to shift into a department that allowed me to thrive. And initially what I did was I moved into a capacity where I was working back in the service deli mid-afternoon shift. So I was working part-time from 10 a.m. to like 2 p.m. And sometimes, occasionally I would do closing shifts and things like that. But I didn't have to get up really early and I didn't have to stay there really late. So that worked really well. Then eventually I was offered another position in the office, which I thought was rather great. And I took it because it aligned well with my daughter in daycare. And that didn't ultimately, that worked for a while. But ultimately the reason it didn't work is because responsibility started to shift back on me. I wasn't able to propel my comedy career forward or my creative career forward. So again, I had to make a change. And that's when I made the ultimate change to work at the front door of Costco and be a greeter. Now, any of you who've shopped at Costco, that seems like the lowest stress job there is in the building. And generally it is. you get to greet people at the door. Your job is very, there's a lot of responsibility there, but you are dealing with customers either as they come in or as they leave. So you're not in the direct firing line of, someone who might be in a bad mood or dealing with anyone who, you know, you're not interacting as directly with them. And I was at a point where I didn't want to do that. I just was past that point. So my shifts there were, I didn't start until 9:30 or 10 in the morning because that's when the building opened. And I didn't, I rarely, the latest I would work would be until about 8:30, 9 o'clock at night when the building closed. And I slowly, and because I was working part-time, it wasn't as impactful. So I made these slow, methodical decisions to work my way eventually out of the building where I didn't work at Costco anymore. And again, I've always said this, Costco is a fantastic employer. My time was just up there. It was no longer for me. So you have to eventually look at what your situation is and find out if it is supporting the way your body clock thrives. And if it doesn't, then you need to find small changes that you can make. And we're going to get to the routines that will help you leverage the time you have as a night owl, whether you're at home or building your side business or whatever, because that's what I had to do. Once I left Costco, my comedy career was not really going anywhere. I've mentioned this before, but it's not easy to make a living as a comedian. I don't know if you know that, but it's one of those things where it's challenging. So for me, what I ended up doing was I ended up focusing more on my writing. I worked for a small computer store, which again had limited hours. And then I ultimately worked for the film festival in Victoria, which was great because times of year it was very slow and other times it was very hectic. And I like that kind of pace. Clearly, I like the pace of a frenetic pace because I entered this Gumroad small product lab challenge, which was building a product from spec of idea to shipped in 10 days. So clearly, I enjoy that from time to time. But because I was able to recognize what my body clock was telling me and I listened to it, it allowed me to better position myself for a better future. And that's what you need to do. In the guide, I discuss other tactics and some of the research that goes into why and maybe what you might be better suited for, whether it's in a company or whether it's, you know, the kind of work you do on your own business. Or, you know, whether you're a stay-at-home parent, that's what my wife and I did, is my wife and I, of course, as parents, we worked with each other's schedule. She would be the early riser, I would be the night owl. She's not an early riser per se, but she's definitely more adept at mornings than I am. So we just kind of compromised. And that's what you need to do is when you recognize you will have to make some compromises, but the more methodical and the more aware you are of it, the better choices you can make. So that's kind of how that goes. The important thing, again, is to recognize. Okay, now we're going to move into the next phase. And I said this is going to be a 20-minute audio program. Clearly, it's going to be a little bit longer, but that's fine. You're going to get a sense of where we're going and how the Night Owl Action Plan can really work for you. Okay, so here we go. Here is the second step in the process when it comes to building and now your action plan that's right for you, and that is to rally. So you've recognized that you are a night owl and you've embraced it. So now how do you make sure that you set yourself up for success? And one of the biggest things that you can do, first and foremost, and this goes for anybody, and this is something I have to drill into people's heads, clients, workshop, everybody. Capture, capture, capture. This is so important as a night owl because, you know, it's important for anybody. But as a night owl, you are going to be working later in the day. So you need to make sure you capture all your ideas as you come to them and not try to process them or give them any real critical thought until you're fully vested and capable to do so. So I've got the saying, capture everything, regret nothing. Grab a notebook, use an app like Drafts for iOS or a Field Notes notebook or whatever. Be intentional with it so that you can pay attention to it, but capture everything and regret nothing. No matter what time of day you thrive in, if you want to take your productivity to the next level, you must capture emphatically and you know, everything. Capture everything, regret nothing. The second thing is how to avoid decision fatigue. And you, if anyone who's been following me for a long time, I'm looking at him right now. I have a Lego Green Lantern on my desk, and I'm a big fan of the Green Lantern. And his power, the power of his ring, is kind of fueled by will. And the higher of level his energy in the ring is, the more charged the ring is, the better constructs he can make. So the things that his ring makes, they are better by the amount of energy he has, but they're also fueled by the amount of concentration and focus he has. So he can't, and it's just, when I say he, I'm talking about Hal Jordan, my favorite Green Lantern, but any comic book fan knows that there are a bunch of Green Lanterns out there. So I'm going to focus on just the Green Lantern, and just to make it simple for you. So by focusing and concentrating, he can make better things as well. And that's what you need to do with your willpower, is you need to have as much of it available to you to make better things. If you use a little bit of willpower, then you're going to make a difference, but it's not going to be as hugely impactful. But there are certain things on your list that you don't need to make a huge difference with, that don't involve a lot of willpower, that you can still move forward. What you need to do is you need to, as a night owl, recognize that your willpower needs to be tapped later in the day when you are thriving, as opposed to following, you know, the traditional advice of eating that frog or tackling your big three tasks of the day, those big heavy lifting tasks at the start of the day. That's not ideal for you as a night owl, because you're not ready for those yet. You will sap all of your willpower, and by the time you get to the time where you will thrive, you won't be able to do the things you really need to do very well. You may not do them at all, which is why you'll end up procrastinating, and then you end up behind that early riser who tackled them first thing in the morning. So when it comes to decision fatigue, give yourself less options by using energy management as your friend. Energy management is one of the biggest things that will help you to not only keep your willpower reserves as high as possible throughout the day, and allow you to replenish them throughout the day, but it will also allow you to recognize when you're at your best and when you're not at your best. So if you're using a task management application, and you definitely should be, whether it's an app or paper, you should be focusing on modes when it comes to your work. So energy-based modes are really key, because you can identify what takes low energy and what takes high energy. And for everyone, that is going to be different. If for me, for example, working with Google Analytics is a high energy task, because I'm not very good at it and I don't like doing it. Okay. Writing, depending on the type of writing I'm doing, can be a low or high energy task. Emailing can be a low or high energy task, depending on A, the length of the email, B, who I might be emailing, and C, the contents and details within the email. So as you can see, it's very subjective. So what a lot of people will do when they're looking at their mode-based work is, energy levels can play a role, but they also need other types. And I talk about this in the guide. One of the biggest ones that people use, because they need something to hold on to, something that they can measure easily, and it's a time-based mode. So if you know something's going to take you 5 minutes or less, you label it with 5-minute mode. If you know it's going to take you 30 minutes, then you label it with 30-minute mode. Or if you're a fan of the Pomodoro technique, maybe you'll use a 25-minute mode so you can use Pomodoros for that, and that can really be helpful, because you can track those as you go. If you need something that's going to take you 60 minutes, and you know that's going to take you 60 minutes, and it's a high energy task, then you would label it with a high energy mode as well as 60 minute mode. So there you have it. That's how mode-based work can work for you in terms of time. Now, the other thing is that when you're taking on these new processes and these new approaches, often new apps are introduced or services are introduced to the fray. That's when having an app or service-based mode can be helpful. So for example, I know a lot of people out there have a difficult time using Evernote. They're not quite sure when they use it and how they should use it. Well, having an Evernote mode will be very helpful, because if you're keeping your ideas or your notes or PDFs in Evernote or whatever, you can just go, you say review PDF or review housing plan, and it's in Evernote, you label it with Evernote mode. You know you need to be in Evernote to do that. I have a lot of clients that I'm training in using Slack right now, which I believe is the ultimate communication tool at this point. So Slack is something that people will struggle with using at first, because they're so used to using email or Skype or IM or what have you. But if you have a Slack mode in your to-do application, or if you have, or task management application rather, or if you have it listed as a paper mode on your, you know, on your paper, a planner, then that's going to help you revisit Slack quite regularly. Again, when it comes to mode-based work, it's always better to have some kind of digital tool, because you can easily search and filter. But that aside, if you look at your modes on your paper-based planner and see that you've got 5 things that need to be dealt with in Slack mode, you'll start using Slack more, and that'll get you out of email and into a more productive space for communication. So that's app and solution or service-based modes. Then there's creative segmentation modes. And I just call it that because it was just easier for me to discuss that way. But you can call it whatever you want. For me, writing is my job. So I write. But I have different types of writing. I write blog posts. I write newsletters. I write books. All of those require not only a different type of energy, but a different type of mindset and a different intent. For example, a newsletter, I want to be maybe a little bit more personal, right? Whereas a blog post, I may be more app-centered, or it'll be personal, but it, because it's going out to a general public and it's not going to people who have subscribed to my email list, I'm going to treat it a little bit differently. Writing a book, obviously there's a different type of writing and an intent that goes on that because it's more of a long tail game. So instead of just having writing mode, which is a good mode, I've segmented out to best align it with my vocation. So I've got book writing mode, I've got blogging mode, I've got newsletter mode, I've got guest article mode. Like, that puts me in the right mindset to approach the task with the proper intent and give it the right attention. You may want to do that if you're a if you're an architect. You may have, like, you know, depending on the types of buildings, it may require different types of mindsets to approach it. So you may want to have, you know, and I'm going to be very glib here, you may have, I want to have condo mode, because this is the kind of things you need to keep in mind when you're dealing with a condo, or house mode, or factory mode, or retail, or residential and commercial. Lots of different modes you can think of. But then you associate those with your projects, and that puts you in the right frame of mind to tackle it. And not only that, but it segments it out quite nicely. So those are the modes that I would look at. Now, tools. I talked about task apps and stuff like that. In the, and I want you to review this as well, but in the bonus materials, you received a PDF that's called Timely Tools, and it lists the tools that I recommend night owls especially get familiar with and try so that they can really take their nighttime productivity to the next level. This PDF will be updated regularly, and of course the whole program will be updated regularly. And I mention on the PDF how you can help me update it if you want. So I would look at this and start to pick out some of those tools, whether it's a task app if you haven't chosen one yet, or whether it's looking at your modes, which I definitely think you should do. And that's not something that's on the sheet, but I think you should definitely look at your modes and decide which modes you should be looking at. And just take a look at that sheet and figure out if there's any tools there that you might want to use to help you take your nighttime productivity to new heights. So that's the second phase, the second step. The third step is routinization, or routines. Now, night owls generally are not good in the morning. I know I'm not good in the morning. So in order to make sure that I have a better start to my day, I make sure I routine the crap out of my nights. And pardon the language there, but I need to do that. That's how passionate I am about it. In order for me to start the next day off right, I need to make sure that I set it up right the day before. So here's what I do. Is my evening routine is so critical. And I've talked about my evening routine before, but there is a definite walkthrough to this. So when I'm ready to wrap up my day, and as I'm recording this, it's 11:12 p.m., so I'm getting to I've got about an hour and 45 minutes left before I start wrapping up my day. What I will do is I will go through my task management app of choice. In this case, it's Todoist. And I will mark off the three absolutes that I want to get done the very next day. I will flag them with red. And I have a filter in Todoist that, you know, I can look at to see if I've chosen three absolutes for the next 10 days. If I have, then great. I don't need to worry about it. If I haven't, then I go in and I choose my three absolutes based on the next day. And sometimes those absolutes can change, which is why I look at the next day anyways, just to make sure that no priorities have shifted. Then what I will do is I will write down those three absolutes, either on my ThoughtTop whiteboard, which I've been doing more so lately, but in the past, and if I'm traveling, I will put it on a sheet of paper and I will attach it to the device that I am going to be looking at the next day. If it's my laptop, I will put it on my laptop and I'll explain how I make sure that I see it. If it's on my iPad or iPhone, I will actually tape it to the front of the screen so I can't look at it until I see it. Okay. It'd be great to have a wallpaper that would do that, but I don't want to update the wallpaper every day. It just seems a bit more friction-oriented to do that. Then what I will do is I will journal. Journaling is so critical because what it does is allows me to get everything out of my head that I need to get out of my head and put it in a place that I trust. And I use an app called Day One on the Mac. Other people can use Evernote. There's also the 5-Minute Journal if you want to do it on paper or on an iOS app. And I journal. And I've talked about this before, both in my Beyond Productivity workshop, as well as on the Fizzle podcast, where I talk about the Fizzle show, where I talk about my productivity journal. But for me, this is kind of like the logging process, which is an integral part of the Now Your formula. And what I'll do is I'll just journal. And it, again, there's no formula. There's no formatting. There's just, here's, you know, how my day went. Here's how I feel. Here's what worked. Here's what didn't, that kind of stuff. Some journal entries are paragraphs long. Others are a couple of words, a couple of sentences. So I do that. Then once I'm done that, I shut my laptop, put that piece of paper upside down on top of the laptop. So the only way I can get to the laptop really is by looking at that sheet of paper. And then I go to bed. Or I wrap up my day. If I'm going to watch TV for a little bit, I can do that as well. But the key is those steps. The evening routine is so critical. Why? Because in the morning when I wake up, what's the first thing I think? Well, first off, based on my theming process, I think about what day it is and I have an idea of what my tasks are going to be for the day. But when I come downstairs after I get my coffee and, you know, have my NutriBullet and read my RSS feed and any other reading I want to do for 30 minutes, the first thing I will see is that 3 absolute sheet. In fact, more often than not, I'll look at the 3 absolutes before I sit down to read, because that way I know that they're fresh and at top of mind. I leave myself that letter, that message in a bottle, per se, because I know first thing in the morning that Mike Vardy is not ready to take on the day. He is going to be distracted by Facebook. He is going to be pulled away by email. He is not going to get the ball rolling. I need to listen to that wizened version of Mike Vardy from the night before. Routines are so critical. You need to have them in place if you're going to succeed in productivity, but especially if you're a night owl, because what it can do is it can allow you to get a good head start on the next day. You plan the day the night before. That's what most people should do. Night owls need to take that to the next level and be absolutely, it has to be done. It's critical. Okay. Now, some of the other things that get mentioned when it comes to night owl productivity is the idea that you are not going to get as much sleep, and that you won't exercise as much, and that you won't get as much sunlight. Well, first off, if you live in the Yukon in the summertime, you're going to get sunlight all day long. I don't live in the Yukon. My wife's from there. But in the summertime, you're going to get more sunlight throughout the day. So if this is more in the wintertime, and definitely seasonally, it's going to change. I generally take vitamin D when the winter arrives anyways, because we don't get a lot of sun in Victoria, British Columbia and the Pacific Northwest. So I generally I take vitamin D. That's something I do in the summertime. I don't need to as much, but definitely in the wintertime I do. The other thing I do is, again, plenty of water is incredibly huge for a night owl. More so than for anyone else. I mean, I have no research to necessarily back that up, but I know that if I have water, I can keep going longer. The other thing is exercise. And it is so critical that we exercise, but for night owls, it's important to exercise at the right time of day. Exercising first thing in the morning can wake you up, sure. But based on your body clock, it's not going to wake up your mind nearly as much as doing it later in the day, say in the afternoon, or even just before, sometime where you know it's going to propel you into the next phase of the day. You may want to do it around 11 o'clock in the morning. I generally do it at around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's generally when I work out. And again, I struggle with this still. So I'm definitely not a beacon when it comes to, or a paragon of virtue when it comes to exercise. This is an area I still struggle with. But find the time to exercise, make it a daily habit, make it part of that routine, or make it at least a semi exercise 2 to 3 times per week. Make it, put it in your calendar, make sure it's in your calendar, and make sure it's part of that routine. So that way you don't, deviate from it. And don't try to do it first thing in the morning, because it's another thing that will compel you to stay in bed. Just make sure that you've got it set up so that you do it at the time that it's going to help you more than hurt you. And for me, that's in the afternoon. For some people, it's going to be late morning, but it shouldn't be first thing in the morning. For me, that as a night owl, I've tried first thing in the morning, and what it does is actually saps my energy so that by the end of the day, I am not able to complete the things I need to complete. I found that around 3 o'clock in the afternoon works best for me. If you work a 9-to-5 job, perhaps after work would be the best time for you. 5 p.m., you do a workout. Even if it's just a half an hour, make it daily. Make it cardio, whatever you need to be. Make it yoga. just make sure you make it part of the routine. Again, these routines are so critical because they are the building blocks of productivity, okay? And what you can do is, as you build your morning and evening routines, start to stack these things on top of one another called habit blocks. So for example, when I started to have a evening routine, I didn't always mark off those flags in Todoist. I just used to write them down. Now I actually look at Todoist and do it that way. So I added that block to my routine. In the mornings, I never used to have a timer for my reader, and I actually have a hourglass that I tip over, and that's now part of my routine. I can easily insert that habit block as part of the routine. So when you're building a routine like this, start small. My initial thought would be to journal and to write down your three absolutes. Those things for sure. Write down your three absolutes first if that's what you need to do to get started. Journaling should definitely come soon afterwards to help you with the review process. But build these routines based on habit blocks. And what that will do is, as you build them, your routines will get more and more ingrained. Now, remember I said that I wasn't a big believer in, you know, going to bed at 12 and getting up at 5 and scheduling that? What I am a believer in is making sure that you get quality sleep, right? And that if you don't get up at, you know, if you go to bed at 1 in the morning, make sure that you get up at 8 in the morning the next day. Like, make sure that you, I don't think it matters so much as when you go to bed consistently or when you get up consistently. It just matters the quality of sleep you get in between that time frame. So using an app like Sleep Cycle will definitely help, because it can monitor the cycles of sleep you have and help you make sure that you balance that accordingly so that you're not jarring yourself up. And when you wake up in a deep sleep, that, or from a deep sleep, that's not ideal. So using an app like Sleep Cycle, or if you've got the ability to use Abedit or something like that to help you with that, that's going to be a huge help. But don't put yourself in a position where you feel compelled to go to bed at the same time every night, because most people, that's not realistic. Getting up at the same time every morning, also not necessarily realistic. We live in a real world where there's lots of real things happening, and you also want to be social creatures. So make sure that you've got the tools in place and the frameworks and the routines in place to help support that. Well, that's about it. That's what I wanted to get through with this audio program. I hope you've had it's been about 36, it's going to go on to about 40 minutes, which my goal was to present this to you in a fashion that will allow you to easily digest it, listen back, and kind of pick and choose what you want to take along the way. I want to thank you for picking up the Night Owl Action Plan. I hope you start to assemble your Night Owl Action Plan right away. Again, if you've picked this up on the release date, which is a Wednesday, you can actually have in the three steps, which I talk about in the guide, you can be set to go by the weekend and good to go. And by the way, the key is to make sure that you do this stuff every single day. There's no reason why you can't journal on a Saturday. You want to keep that thing going. There's no reason why you can't use Sleep Cycle every day of the week. You can have weekends set up to have it turned off, and you can sleep in and all that stuff if you want. But the key is start building this now, and build this habit and build this routine and build this plan so that it's ingrained, so that you've got it built in and it becomes second nature, and then start to tweak, then start to deviate a little bit or make it your own. But like any good system, like any good approach, it started somewhere. I've built all of my systems based on something that I've, you know, tried and taken what's worked with me and what's worked for me and what hasn't. And this Night Owl Action Plan takes a lot of the elements that I use every single day to boost my productivity and just helps me take it to the next level in the evening. As you can hear right now, it is 11:23 p.m. as I'm recording this, and I feel like I've got another hour and a half left in me. My energy level is, you know, I mean, I can hear that I'm feeling a little bit quieter, but then again, you know, I've got my daughter sleeping in the next room. So I hope you enjoyed this program. I'm going to be revising it and editing it. It's going to be even better as time goes on. So if you're an early adopter to the Night Owl Action Plan, first off, I want to thank you for investing your time and energy with me. And I also want to rest assured that this program will continue to evolve and grow and get better and better as time goes on. 10 days is a quick turnaround to go from speck of an idea to shipped. And I'm really proud that I was able to accomplish that. And I want to thank everybody that's helped make that possible, including you. So until we have a chance to talk again, keep moving things forward day and night.